Welcome back to the Urantia Podcast. Jim Watkins, and we're talking about Emmanuel this time up. I want to go into a little bit about Emmanuel because he's such an important figure in the cosmology of things, if you're familiar with the Urantia book teachings of Emmanuel. But it's interesting because in our own scriptural history, very vague notions of Emmanuel and what Emmanuel was, according to, it's not even really a there's not much in Hebrew history that deals with Emmanuel. And it isn't until the Gospel of Matthew cites the prophecy of the sign of Emmanuel from Isaiah using a Greek translation rather than the original Hebrew. And Matthew begins, and I'm reading here, quoting from Wikipedia about Emmanuel and the interpretation of what the name means. Matthew begins with a genealogy of Jesus from Abraham through David to Joseph, with Jesus as the, quote, son of David, a member of the house of David, according to Isaiah 7:12, to whom the sign of Emmanuel was given. In Greek, it's Emmanuai, Emmanuai. Matthew 1:16 indicates that Jesus is not Joseph's natural son, and Matthew never refers to Joseph as Jesus's father, verses 1:18 through 25 in Isaiah. And he turns to Mary, the future mother of Jesus, betrothed, engaged to Joseph, but, quote, found with child of the Holy Ghost before she and Joseph, quote, came together. Joseph was about to break the engagement, but an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him of the child's divine origin. That, according to Matthew 1:22 and 23, declares that was the fulfillment of Scripture, that it might be fulfilled. I'm reading the quotes. This is Isaiah 22. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So the name Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us. And it goes on to say, in conclusion, the Gospel of Matthew was written by an author who believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah. God with us. At first, titles such as Messiah and Son of God had described Jesus' future nature as the Deutera Parousia, the second coming. But very soon he came to be recognized as having become the Son of God at the resurrection. Then, in Mark, he becomes known as Son of God at his baptism. And finally, Matthew and Luke add infancy narratives in which Jesus is the Son of God from the very beginning, long before being conceived of a virgin mother without a human father. And that's how they describe the origin of the name Emmanuel, as it's rooted in the New Testament of Matthew. And so we take just a quick second here and break this down, because when I relay to you the contrast between the scriptural account of Emmanuel and what the Urantia Revelation has to say, all you're going to do is say, wow, this is pretty amazing. So let's go into a little bit of that detail. So what does the Urantia book say that Emmanuel is? Well, Emmanuel is of Salvington, which is our headquarters world, which is where Michael reigns. Michael, of course, the Son of God of our universe. And Emmanuel represents the Paradise Trinity. Emmanuel is technically Jesus's elder brother in the scheme of things. He's of Paradise origin. If you remember that there are each level of universe reality, there are representatives from the Trinity. And it starts off with the Trinity Teacher Sons in Havona. And then it's the Eternal of Days, followed by the Ancients of Days, which deal directly with the seven super universes. And then you have the Perfecter of Days, the Recent of Days, the Union of Days, and the Faithful of Days. And Emmanuel is of that group that represents the Trinity to the local universes. So Emmanuel is pretty high up in terms of spiritual hierarchy. So Emmanuel is of the sixth order of Supreme Trinity personalities, and he is a being of sublime dignity and of such superb condescension that he refuses the worship and adoration of all living creatures. That's from paper 33:5-2. And just to give you an idea of how important Emmanuel is, during the absence of Michael, as when Michael was on a mission, Emmanuel is the one who is in control. Gabriel goes to Emmanuel. Gabriel, the bright morning star, who is the personal assistant of our Creator's Son, Michael, Jesus. And Gabriel even has to go to Emmanuel in times when Michael is absent and say, "Can you approve this order?" Hey, we're about to create another universe way out there near Andromeda. We need you to kind of sign off on it, Emmanuel. I'm kind of kidding on that one. The faithful of days. And so, one final note. Right before the bestowal of Christ on our world, Emmanuel gives him some instructions and says, you know, you're about to embark on your seventh and final bestowal, and I just want to remind you of a few things that you need to remember when you're there. And Emmanuel has a little talk with his younger brother before he departs on his bestowal mission. And I want to share just a few paragraphs, maybe even less, of what Emmanuel said to Michael before he departed and became born of the material Mother Mary. This is paper 120. This is the very first paper which begins the fourth part of the Urantia Revelation, having to do with the life and teachings of Jesus. And this is entitled Further Counsel and Advice, and it comes from Emmanuel. "And now, my brother, in taking leave of you as you prepare to depart, and after counseling you regarding the general conduct of your bestowal that have been arrived at in consultation with Gabriel, that in the pursuit of the ideal of your mortal earth life, you also give some attention to the realization and exemplification of some things practical and immediately helpful to your fellow man. Live your family and community life in accordance with the practices of the people among whom you have elected to appear. That you confine your efforts largely to spiritual regeneration and intellectual emancipation. Avoid all entanglements with the economic structure and the political commitments of your day. More especially, devote yourself to living the ideal religious life. As a dispensational son, you are granted certain privileges pertaining to the advancement of the spiritual and religious status of the world's peoples." And then finally he says, "As you may see fit, seek to avoid the formal establishment of an organized cult, a crystallized religion, or a segregated ethical grouping of mortal beings. Your life and your teachings are to become this common heritage of all religions and all peoples." What is amazing to me, if you go back to the Wikipedia description of Emmanuel, and then you contrast this with the expanded revelation of who Emmanuel was, his role in the universe, his relationship to Jesus as he's about to embark on this new adventure, and so much more in this advice of not setting up a cult. Boy, you know, you read some of those things, and don't you kind of wish that the members of the Christian church, particularly the Catholic Church, would perhaps adopt some of these things to stay away from politics, stay away from the economy of things, and just focus on the spiritual and religious status of the people of the world, rather than crystallize religion into little sects? You know, they're saying to Jesus, make sure that you don't start just another cult, but leave your teachings behind, leave your example behind, and let them contaminate all the religions of the world. And that was the advice given to him by his elder brother, Emmanuel. And so with that, you have a little bit more information about one, yet another character from the Urantia Revelation, this time focusing on an ambassador of Trinity. So there are three takeaways that this brief profile that Emmanuel reveals to us. Number one is that the name God is with us, translated from the Greek Emmanuel, is literally true. Emmanuel, being a true Trinity ambassador to the bestowal Son, serves by his side upon high as the elder brother from paradise. Now some might ask, how can Jesus have an older brother, a personality whose origin and nature represents the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit if Jesus himself is the only begotten Son? How could there be an Emmanuel? Well, it's about purpose. Christ Jesus was Michael before his bestowal on our world. This is who Emmanuel is giving advice to. Emmanuel is not a bestowal son. That's not his purpose. He is a paradise ambassador. He is of a different order of sons who serves as teachers to the universes at large, where these bestowal sons exist and rule over vast numbers of worlds as spiritual teachers and spiritual creators. Now, early man, having absolutely no reference point, were at least able to preserve the true interpretation of the name Emmanuel as meaning God is with us, which I find is very interesting. Now, the association of his name with Jesus in Scripture, particularly in Isaiah and also in Matthew, denotes that there is a connection which the Urantia Revelation merely expands upon in order to illustrate that there really is a true and living, what I call, economy of things in the worlds and in space and in the life beyond our own. And that is what Emmanuel illustrates. What a powerful notion to suggest that just before Jesus becomes a mortal babe, born to Mary, that his elder brother from paradise, Emmanuel, and Gabriel, his firstborn son of his local creation, come together and they give him advice and some great counsel. What a beautiful story. Now, in Scripture, what remains is a name, a vague understanding of the term Emmanuel, and of course, somehow connecting that name with a divine mission, the Son of God and the Son of Man in the form of Joshua or Yeshua ben Joseph. So we're going to leave it there for now. It sure has been a good trip this time up on your Rancho Radio podcast, so I thank you for joining me. Be sure to join us online. Follow us at yourranchoradio.net. And until next time, thank you and God bless.
This was just the first step. In time, you'll take another. This is the way it's been done for billions of years.